Good morning. So I was at like the little intersection by 291 and 39th Street the other day by Walmart, you know, leaving that Walmart area. And weather was just like it is today. I mean, not the snow, but just like the crazy cold, super wind. And you got this lady there at the intersection with a cardboard sign. And all over, I mean, over by Lowe's, all over the place here around Independence, you'll see this. But it was just so cold that day. Just got me thinking, like, the level of desperation it takes to be outside holding a sign when the wind chill's like negative 20 or whatever it is right now. And I want us to start so we can try to understand the passage we're going to read about today. I want you to try to start picturing what sort of desperation would have to happen in your life for you to get to the level to be outside begging for help. For some of you, it might be, well, if I just made one more wrong decision, I'd be there this afternoon. I mean, I've had some conversations like that recently. And for some of you, you might think, oh, that seems impossible. I got this grandparent I could call and this and this and that. You got all this list. But think about it. If you really had no other options, you felt like your best shot for help was to be standing outside right now with cardboard. I want you to think about how would your body feel physically if you'd gotten to that point. Are you sore? Are you tired? Are you physically injured? Is that why you're not working? I want you to think about, are you angry? Are you hurt, or bitter, or sad? Like, do you feel like you've been betrayed by somebody? And how do you actually feel that you're looking to strangers to help instead of your family or your friends? And finally, I want you to think about, how does your stomach feel? Are you that sort of hungry where your stomach's rumbling all the time? Or are you so hungry that, like, stomach doesn't really feel much of anything, and you just feel pretty weak, and you just have a terrible headache type of hunger? So you got all that stuff running through you. And there's two things for a person who's legitimately standing outside begging. They feel desperate, would be my guess, but there's also some sort of hope there. If you're desperate without any hope for help, you'd be trying to rob somebody or hurt somebody. If you're desperate and you think somebody is going to help, that's what drives people out to beg, right? There's this combination of they're desperate and they believe that somebody is going to try to help them. That's their best shot. They have some sort of hope that help can come and make it better. So we're going to read a passage of scripture today about somebody who's begging. And I have a feeling the wind chill was not negative 30 in this story because it's a different part of the world. But as we're reading this, I want you to be thinking about the sort of desperation that leads somebody to beg, because that's going to get us right to respond to this scripture, okay? We're going to be in Mark chapter 10, and if you have a Bible, turn there, because I'll be referring to some stuff that happens a little bit ahead of it as well in the passage. So Mark chapter 10, if you don't have a Bible, we'll have it up here on screen. So Mark 10, starting in verse 46. And, you know, we talked about the four R's a little bit ago. But before we read this, I'm going to lead us in a prayer, just a real simple prayer. And I want you guys to pray it with me, just this idea that we want Jesus to come and teach us, okay? So let's pray. Jesus, we read about you. Jesus, I pray you would teach us, show us what to ask and how to ask you, so that you will come and change us. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. The reason I prayed that way is because today's sermon is really about asking Jesus for something. So let's read about that, okay? So talking about Jesus and his followers, it says in verse 46, then they came to Jericho, and they're on their way to Jerusalem, and this is Jesus' last trip on earth. He is on his way to Jerusalem knowing he is going to get rejected and crucified. Okay? So he's making that journey. It says, then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. I'm going to pause us for just a second. First thing I'm going to note is when most people hear some destitute man who doesn't have anything, who's a beggar, start yelling, most people try to shut that person down. Ancient Israel is not different than today. You start, a typical beggar holds a cardboard sign because if they stood outside of Walmart screaming at people, like someone would come and stop them, right? And that's kind of what's happening here. People are like, stop. We don't want you to be like that. We don't want to have everyone focus on you. You're not worthy of that much attention. That's the general message in our culture or in their culture. I also want to point out this idea. He is blind, okay? So I went through all this desperation that would lead you to have a sign on cold weather like this. But for most of you, I don't know if you took it this far of like what was wrong with you. But if you're blind 2,000 years ago, just try to, for a minute, picture what life is like. You're dependent, basically, right? Many of us have gone through all sorts of mistakes, all sorts of barriers, but we refuse to be dependent on anybody, right? We have this pride still that I don't need anybody, I can make it on my own. Blindness would strip you of that pride. And right now we see how fragile all of our pride is, right? Like your pride is rooted in some stuff that you didn't create, that you didn't make. None of us made our eyes. And just if God took that one gift from us, our pride would be totally different, right? Our outlook on our self-ability would be different. Especially 2,000 years ago, okay? So he's shouting. And what is he shouting? He's shouting, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So verse 49, we see Jesus take action, and it's different than what most of us would do. Verse 49, Jesus stopped and said, call him. A lot of times we read through the Bible real quickly, and we think like, oh yeah, it's Jesus. Of course he's helping people, he's saving people, doing great stuff. And we can read that story and then walk by somebody that's screaming at us outside, and we just think like, well, yeah, of course I walk by that person. They're crazy or something. Jesus stopped and said, bring this guy to me. I want to talk to this guy. There's a whole crowd of people. There's a whole city turned out. And Jesus says, I'm going to stop for the beggar who's yelling for me. When we think about following Jesus, it means trying to become like Jesus. So when you read the Gospels that Jesus acts differently than we act, we need to take that as a check of like, I probably need to change in some sort of way. Because I don't act the way that Jesus acts here. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. We're going to come back to that question again. What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, Rabbi, that's another word for teacher, like a respected word for teacher. Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. I have a lot to unpack here. Just that last idea, he's following Jesus. Most of the people that we hear about getting healed in the Gospels, they don't have a name attached to them. And a lot of scholars think we know Bartimaeus' name because Bartimaeus probably stuck around. Bartimaeus probably was around people in the church, and this story wasn't a story about some guy the disciples saw. It was Bartimaeus getting up at church, giving this testimony that then got written down, okay? So It's reasonable to think Bartimaeus sticks with Jesus during all the stuff that happens in Jerusalem and stays a believer and stays in the church, okay? So this impact is he starts with a Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, and he probably lives out his life for Jesus. So let's unpack this stuff a little bit. I got just a little bit to share with us today. That question is the core question for us. Jesus actually repeats it right before this passage, the passage right before it. James and John come to him, and Jesus says the exact same question. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? It's a question I want us to face today, for you to think about it, for Dwayne to think, what do I want Jesus to do for me? For Robbie Davis down the hall to think, what do I want Jesus to do for me? For Leslie Ricketts watching on Facebook to think, like, what do I want Jesus to do for me? For Joshua Patterson down the fellowship to think, what do I want Jesus to do for me? There's this thing I see over and over in Christians that seems noble of we focus on helping other people and we never, some folks will never pray for themselves or they don't make very much about Jesus help me. That's actually not the right way to go. It's a way that seems right to people, but it ends in death is what I will say, okay, to just kind of piggyback on some scripture. It seems right to never bring up ourselves to God, but it's not Christianity. Christianity that Jesus shows us is you need to get right with me. You need me. That's where everything good in our life comes from. It comes from coming to Jesus saying, I need you. Then we have something to share. C.S. Lewis, I was reading his book, The Four Loves, just earlier this week, and he says, for humans, all the time we're here in this life, we will never have a love for God. This is me paraphrasing. We'll never have a love for God that doesn't include some neediness in it. We're the creature. He's the creator. Even at our best, we will always come to him with some need. We'll never come to him with, I just have stuff to give you, God. We're meant to always come with needs to God. A healthy relationship with God involves us giving our needs to him. We are like toddlers to parents, okay? Toddlers to parents, there's always a lot of needs. That's part of the relationship. Us to God, it's always we need his help. That's always a piece of it. You might have something that God wants you to do for someone else or to even offer to him, but it's always going to involve him helping you. And so for some of you, you've been coming to church and you've been helping lots of other people and you're living really hard trying to help Jesus. And maybe when I say it like that, you see that first and foremost, you need Jesus to help you. And not just in a one time when you're 8 years old. You need Jesus to help you every day. You are not going to be able to follow Jesus without him helping you. So this question from Jesus, he says, what do you want me to do for you? And today, there's lots of people that need help. There's a lot going on. And just folks' lives that I know, and I'm sure the same is true for you, we could have a long list of needs that seem really, really big. What I'm asking you to focus on today is what do you need to ask Jesus for you? I'm telling you to be self-focused right now. We don't to say this a lot, like for the sermon. I'm telling you, look at yourself and say, what do I need? And then you're going to take that need to Jesus. And I want to point out something Bartimaeus does that I want us to do. Bartimaeus was begging. He's blind. I'm sure he's basically set up trying to get money for food. That would probably be what he's begging about, right? When he started that day, if you would have told him, like, you're going to have a great dinner tonight, he probably would have thought, like, well, it's going to be a good day, right? I have a feeling that was probably where the bar was for him. He could have gone to Jesus and said, will you please get me a great meal? It would have been something that he needed. It would have helped him, but it would have been so small when you're talking to Jesus, right? Look at what he says to Jesus, Rabbi, I want to see. It's a selfish request. There's nothing, I mean, you could say, well, he's going to use his eyesight to help others or something like that. Well, yeah, but at its core, it's making him better, right? It's making him stronger, more capable, less dependent on other people. If he would have just asked for a meal, Jesus might have given it to him. Jesus gave other people meals. But I bet every single day of his life he was thankful when he opened his eyes and saw colors and saw people and walked around. I bet he was thankful that he had a big ask when he got the chance, right? So here in a minute, I'm going to have you write down a request to Jesus, but I want you to begin thinking, like, what should I really ask Jesus? And I would recommend don't ask something really small. Don't ask something that has no big impact on your life. Because if you're going to talk to Jesus and ask him for something, I don't think you should ask for a cheeseburger, you know? Like, I think you should ask for something really big. So what I'm not getting to is a formula of turning Jesus into a genie. Right before this passage, James and John, Jesus' closest disciples right there next to Peter, they come to Jesus and say, Jesus, do for us what we want you to do. Jesus very wisely says, like, well, what do you want me to do for you? He doesn't step into that promise trap. He says, what do you want me to do for you? And they say, give us this super high authority position in your kingdom. Give us the most honor that any humans are going to have. And he says, like, I'm not going to do it. Basically, like, nope. So Jesus is not going to necessarily say yes to whatever you write on your sheet of paper. If he told James and John no, he has every right to tell Jake Taylor no, okay? But if he told Bartimaeus yes, like, I think it's worth our time this morning to ask. It's worth our time to ask. Because for Bartimaeus, it changed his whole life. And him asking for God's help made him into a follower of Jesus. Some of us are trying to make ourselves into good people. And I think maybe if we just come today and say, Jesus, this is how I need help, that would go a lot further towards transforming us into who we need to be. Okay? So I want you, there's a little, if you're in the sanctuary, you got these little notepads in front of you. If you're in the other classrooms, I gave your Sunday school teachers some paper or pens and stuff. So hopefully, if you're at home, you're on your own. But everybody grab some paper, pen, something like that. Literally write out, what do you want Jesus to do for you? You can take a moment to pray if you want, to think. But we're going to all do this, myself included. So I see a lot of people in here writing. You can continue writing as I talk to you. I want blank. Remember, the blind man, he asked literally for eyesight. It's okay to say, I want a reliable car. It's okay to say, I want to be free from my addiction, whatever that is. It's okay to say, I want a spouse or something. I remember Brian English prayed for years about a wife, and then now he's married to Sebla. And I'm not saying God is going to say yes to all this different stuff we're praying about. But what I am saying is, let's go to him realizing we have needs and that he's the source. So here's something else I want to point out to you. The blind man, he's desperate for help. He screams and yells. Even when people tell him no, he keeps yelling. For some of us, we ask for something, but we're not really desperate for it. There were probably other people that were injured that thought, I hope Jesus comes and heals me. But this guy, like, would not be denied, right? And whatever you wrote on that sheet of paper, are you like that? Are you saying, no matter who tries to stop me, no matter what tries to stop me, no matter how much I have to yell, it's not going to stop me. He throws aside his cloak, which, not to get too much into ancient world, but clothing was a lot more valuable then than it is today. So he just, like, abandoned, like, nothing matters except getting to Jesus and getting his eyesight. And for you, imagine if you were desperate for the thing that you just wrote. I'm desperate to get to Jesus and get his help. Might change, right? Some of us say, oh, I really want this, but every single day we don't do it, right? I really want to be healthy, but I'm just going to eat this way and do this and drink this and whatever. Like, what if you were desperately trying to get to Jesus towards the thing that you wanted? Then he says, when Jesus heals him, he follows Jesus. When you look at that thing on your paper, if God gave that to you, what does it result in? Because some of you may be asked for something. I've seen people really be after some sort of blessing, and when they get it, it distracts them from what Jesus wants them to be doing. It divides them. It spreads them out. They get worried about it or anxious about it or protective of it or prideful over it. It becomes like a spiritual dead weight on them, right? And this thing that they thought was going to be a blessing maybe is a curse, right? But for Bartimaeus, it sounds like his eyesight led to him be closer to Jesus, right? Led to him following Jesus. And for you, whatever you've asked for, would it lead you to a good relationship with Jesus? If God gave it to you today, would it inspire you to follow him? And I can tell you, I mean, I don't have time for all my stories, but Jesus can give you something that is a selfish request, and it can be something that leads you to closer to him. Don't be afraid to take your selfishness to Jesus, okay? But you take it to him, you ask him, and then you sit with whatever he says, yes or no. James and John kept following Jesus when he told them no. Jesus can tell us no, but I think we go to him and we ask, and then we keep following him, okay? So if you don't get the health that you're asking for, or if you don't get the thing that you feel like you really need, that's not a reason to abandon him, but it's a reason to keep going with him and keep taking your needs to him. You trust him. James and John trusted him. And so they stuck with him even when he told them no. Bartimaeus put all of his hope in Jesus, and so he followed him. Bartimaeus probably had a lot of things he wanted to do once he could see, right? A lot of things he could have gone and done. But he chose to say, I'm going to stick with Jesus, right? Let me glance at this real quick. One other thing I want to throw out to you about Bartimaeus is his title for Jesus right off the bat. You might not think much of it. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. What he's saying is, Jesus, you're the Messiah we're looking for. You're the hope that we have, and you're my king. It's a whole bunch tied up into that statement. James and John also believed Jesus was the Messiah. They didn't get everything they asked for. Again, doing the right thing by Jesus doesn't make him into your genie. But if you're here today and you want help from God, you gotta come to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I need your mercy because you're the Lord of my life. No matter what you have done before, good or bad, today, in a fresh way, you need to say, Jesus, you are my king, and I need mercy. I'm not good enough on my own. That's the real key that James and John and Bartimaeus had. That's what made them followers of Jesus. They approached Jesus like, Jesus, I need your help, and you're the Lord of my life. Because the blessings are good in and of themselves, but they're not what we really need. What we all really need is that closeness to our Savior, that closeness to our King. And it's so easy to get distracted from it. But I'm telling you, the same Jesus who healed Bartimaeus wants to do big stuff at Maywood. And if we will begin asking him in that sort of way of, here's what we really want, we're going to ask in this bold, faithful way, I believe Jesus will start doing amazing things, continue to do amazing things at Maywood. But the real key is, are we going to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, you're the one I hope in. You're my Savior. I need your mercy. James and John's request had some pride to it, But Bartimaeus has really had this humbleness of, I'm a beggar and I need your help. I think that's the right way for us to approach Jesus today. And so we're ending a little bit early today, but here's what I'm going to challenge you with. I want you to share with somebody before, if you're in the building right now, before you leave the building, if you're at home, you're probably sitting somewhere. And so before you stand up from wherever you're sitting, you probably have a cell phone within arm's reach. If you're at home, call somebody. If you're here in the building, either call somebody if you want to, but ideally talk to somebody else and say, here's what's on my sheet. And that takes some guts because you probably wrote something important to you. Say, here's what's on my sheet. Will you pray for me that Jesus will have mercy on me in this and give me this thing that I think I need? That takes courage, but typically going anywhere with Jesus takes courage. So we can have courage within these walls, especially if we're going to have courage outside of these walls. And share with somebody before you leave today, this is what I'm asking for Jesus to do for me today. Would you pray for me about that? And then reciprocate that. Ask them what they put on their sheet and pray for them about that. This is really simple stuff. Nothing special that Jake said today, but what is powerful is when we start praying together and Jesus gets involved. If Jesus does what you ask, be like Bartimaeus and joyfully follow him down the road, you know, skipping. If he doesn't do what you ask, be like James and John and stick with him. Because I'm telling you, James and John don't regret that they stuck with Jesus, okay? So I want to pray us out, but remember the service really ends. We're ending a little early today. We're ending a little early, so you get some minutes with other people, okay? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you've answered so many prayers in the past that may would even just this last week. I see answered prayer here in this room. Jesus, we come to you because you are our King, and you are our hope, and we need your mercy. Jesus, we have a lot of requests today, but I pray you be with us as we talk to each other, and I pray that you would do miracles to draw us further and deeper with you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.